And it's really great to see so many people in this space be able to connect, have a drink, have lunch, you know, even if just a 5-minute conversation, and see, you know, see people in real life.
You're listening to Protect It All, where Aaron Crow expands the conversation beyond just OT, delving into the interconnected worlds of IT and OT cybersecurity. Get ready for essential strategies and insights. Here's your host, Aaron Crow.
Hey, everyone. Excited this week. It's a big week. It's hacker summer camp, Black Hat in Vegas, as well as DEF CON. 40,000 security professionals or people at least in one place. Let's dive into all that that is. I've been going to DEF CON and Black Hat for years now. I don't even remember when the last time or the first time I went. I think it was back maybe in 2012, something like that. I don't exactly remember. I don't have all of my my badges anymore. I've moved and gotten rid of most of them. But this week I'll be in Vegas starting Monday through the end of the week. I'm actually not even going to be on the floor at Black Hat. I'll be hanging out around, going to vendor events, House of Blues for the Morgan Franklin Cyber Lounge. And then during DEF CON, I'll be at ICS Village and, you know, kind of making the ways around things. The cool thing with this, there's a lot of great, good, bad, and ugly. So I kind of want to dig into it. I've seen a lot of posts of people talking about Black Hat and DEF CON and conferences in general, really. Cybersecurity is a big business, obviously. There's a lot of value. There's a lot of need from, you know, new products, capabilities, functionality, training, people, process, you know, all the things. So let's dive into some of the cool stuff, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the ugly, et cetera, right? So the good, right? So every year, some of the things that I really enjoy and look forward to is reconnecting with friends, you know, and connections and coworkers and counterparts, even those at, you know, competitors and people that I used to work with or used to work adjacent to or for, et cetera. We talked 40, 50,000 people that are in Vegas this week for this event. Obviously there's more than that in Vegas, but for this event, and it's really great to see so many people, in this space, be able to connect, have a drink, have lunch, you know, even if just a 5-minute conversation, and see, you know, see people in real life. You know, events like this, anytime you're at a conference, this type of stuff, you know, getting out of the Zoom bubble, meetings, the normal emails, Slack, you know, Teams, whatever, you know, just doing something different. These weeks are super tiring and exhausting. Just standing, walking, obviously in Vegas, you walk a lot. But there's a lot of value that came out. Networking is huge. I talk about it all the time. Network is vastly important, right? If whether you're looking for a job, or eventually you're probably going to be looking for a job, or you're going to be looking for a next opportunity, or you're going to be looking for a new product, you're going to be looking for a new capability, you're going to be looking to hire someone, like any of those things can be true. And that's why networking is so important. Like you build this network of connections, and you build people. And you never know when you're going to have to pull on that for, you know, somebody that's had an experience in this thing that you're needing, or has a resource that may be value add, et cetera. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of random conversations. There's a lot of, really, great conversations. There's a lot of fun events, et cetera. Right. So vendor events are everywhere. Like you go to Vegas, yes, it's expensive, but during Black Hat, there's things going on at all times, morning, noon, evening, lunches, dinners, breakfasts, tabletop exercises, you know, round tables, parties, all sorts of stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of events that actually provide value. There's a lot of events that are a lot of hype and kind of everything in between. You know, switch up to DEF CON. Obviously, Black Hat and DEF CON are two ends of the spectrum of two different types of events. Black Hat being very specific, you know, corporate, polished, you know, sales focused, you know, product evaluations and marketing and all the things. And DEF CON is exactly the opposite of that. you know, your badges don't have your name on it. Nobody can scan you. Nobody's going to be sending a message to you about it. If you want to reach out to people, you have to get their information and they'd have to give it to you. You know, there's a lot of people that come to that that aren't in cybersecurity, that have nothing to do with cybersecurity. They just, it's a cool party or their friends are in it or whatever. The cost is there, or the cost is so low that people come from all over. And that's great, right? We want that excitement in around cybersecurity. And then, you know, events like or places and organizations like ICS Village, like all of the villages that are at DEF CON, they're amazing because they're nonprofit, they're community driven. People like me and others that volunteer their time to speak, to talk to people and you know, kind of share our knowledge and experience. You know, ICS Village focusing on OT and you know, industrial cybersecurity. We are able to talk to people every year when I go, I'm talking to people that have never experienced OT, that many of them have heard of OT. Maybe they've seen it in the news, but they still don't really grasp or understand it. I've had heated debates about how their OT is no different than IT. And if you've heard my podcast, that's just not how I feel at all. And so many don't, but I'm okay having those conversations and helping people to understand why we feel it's different and how it's different. And they're not wrong in that the technology side is the same, or very similar, in a lot of the spaces. Sometimes it's exactly the same. Sometimes it's the exact same equipment. It's just in an OT space. But that's not the conversation we're having today. So let's dig into some of the bad. Vegas in the summer, in August, it's hot, it's miserable, you don't want to go outside, you're walking a ton. Everything, Vegas used to be affordable, you know, restaurants and food and entertainment and hotels and everything was really, really affordable. It is not that anymore. It is so expensive. You know, it's impossible to get a hotel room anywhere near, you know, where the event is for Black Hat, at least for me, maybe if you book now for next year. But you know, I'm not staying at Mandalay Bay. I don't think I've ever stayed at Mandalay Bay in any of these times. Usually it's halfway down the strip and having to walk or Uber, which gets old and tiring. If you want to run back to your room, things like that, that gets frustrating. It's one of the things I don't like about this conference. RSA is the same. But other conferences, you know, when you have it at a big venue or an attached hotel, that makes it easier. You can run up to your room. You can drop stuff off. You're not having to walk outside. And again, in August in Vegas is hot. It's one of the reasons, unfortunately, we were hosting another Lone Star Cyber Shootout in Vegas, but that didn't happen. We had to push that out. Part of it was, you know, we were concerned about the heat. Some things came through and things out of our control. Made us where we couldn't do it anymore, but we are still going to do one in Texas again in October. So if you're interested in that, definitely reach out. The other bad stuff, you know, just there's so many people. So many people go to Vegas. So many people go to Black Hat. But what's the ROI? Like, you know, I remember as an asset owner, when I was working for a power utility, having to justify going to this thing, right? We have very little budget. For that type of thing, right? Going to basically it was considered training. So I did the training stuff with Black Hat, took courses, things like that. And that was how I justified it. But it was a difficult one, right? It's expensive. It takes a lot of time. I was gone for, you know, almost a week. Actually, I think it was more than a week because I think the training was 2 days even before the floor opened. But still, I had to really justify that ROI, which obviously I went to the speaking engagements and the training, so that's the value add. But so many people they do LobbyCon, kind of like I'm doing this year, or they're just in the expo, so they just go on the floor. So what's the ROI there? If you're looking for a particular product, sure, you could talk to those folks, but you could talk to those folks anytime. So what is the value of Black Hat or just conferences in general? Not to call out Black Hat specifically, but Black Hat's just a really, really big one. You know, let's talk about the next thing is all the vendor spaces. And again, I've been a vendor, I've had booths, at conferences. You go to these places, they have all the, you know, t-shirts and swag and hats and whatever the thing that they're doing. So they scan your badge. which means you get put into their CRM, which again, that's the reason they're there. I am a vendor. I understand it. At the same time, just because I scanned for a pair of socks for my daughter doesn't mean that I want 17,000 text messages and phone calls and emails, et cetera. Right. So, it's got to be a mix of those things. We can't say that we don't want any vendors, because if the vendors aren't there, then the vendors are, then the event doesn't happen. The vendors are the reason why. Their sponsorship makes it possible for Black Hat to exist, and big conferences like that to exist. So that has to be there, and they have to get ROI on it. As a vendor, and this is the thing that I think I see a lot of CISOs posting and just cyber people, oh, it's so annoying, I get all this stuff. You have to realize, like, if there's no ROI for them, if there's no value, if there's no way that they can get a lead, a contact, an opportunity from this, they're not going to go. We have this conversation every event when we're looking at potential sponsorship or even just attendance. What is the value for me as a vendor to show up at this place? Is it going to turn into, what is the ROI? How do I justify sending a team, especially if you're talking about Black Hat and sponsorship, multiple tens of thousands of dollars? You know, some of these places, you know, I don't want to call out by name, but some of these vendors are spending millions of dollars on these things. So there has to be an ROI for them to be able to get to justify going, right? You know, getting new logos, getting new opportunities, booking demos, you know, getting leads, et cetera, right? So we have to take that. It has to be part of it again, or they won't come back, and then Black Hat won't exist, or any conference like that won't. So there's a lot of talks at Black Hat, and people go to them. I know they do. I have in my past. But I've really stopped going. Again, this year, I don't even have a Black Hat ticket. But most years, even when I did, maybe I go to one or two talks, but it's just so busy that week. I don't have the opportunity and really time to dedicate to that. And a lot of folks that I talk to don't really go to the talks, unfortunately. I think that they could be a good value add, and I think they are a value add. It's just about how many people are actually going to the talks. What ROI as an attendee are you getting? You know, we talked about some of the good, amazing things, you know, connections and networking, and, you know, absolutely on the vendor floor, you know, seeing the products that they have, doing an in-person demo, meeting people in person and hearing it beyond just, you know, a sales call or what's on their website. That's hugely valuable. But the talks are too. So, you know, what is the ROI? And that kind of goes into the next thing of leadership, right? Cyber CISOs, executives, et cetera, most of them don't go. And if they do, they're probably not sharing that they're a CISO. And that's just because they get bombarded. If a CISO walks into your booth and it has CISO on their badge, they're just going to get mobbed. And they don't want that. So usually they'll not tell anyone. Now, obviously people may know who they are, but they're not going to advertise, hey, I'm a cyber executive, I have leadership, I have, you know, decision-making power, et cetera, authorization, because again, they'll get attacked. Again, that goes back into the ugly, you know, the cold sales calls from a t-shirt scan. You know, I guess the biggest thing that's every year, this is every conference, again, this is not just a breakout or beat up on Black Hat specifically, but it's the drinking from a fire hose of hype. You know, this year, I'm sure it'll be AI, zero trust, cloud, you know, all of the buzzwords, you know, quantum, blah, 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 blah. They all have it. Everybody will have an AI thing on their marketing because that's what everybody's looking for. Most, in my experience, most products that even many of them, I won't say most, that's not fair. Many of them that have AI, or whatever the buzzword is, it's a bolt on, or what's the value in it, right? Some of them obviously are AI native. They are focusing on those things. And there are real products that have real value. But again, most of them are just hyping. Oh yeah, we've got AI. Yeah, we've got a chatbot. Yeah, we've got this. We've got that. Like, okay, but did it really? What is the huge value? And just adding AI doesn't necessarily make it better, as we've seen with recent episodes. I've even talked about with the SharePoint attack, and there's AI adding these types of things adds risk. it adds an attack, you know, vulnerability, right? So just because it can have AI doesn't mean it should have AI. It's like the IoT thing. Do I really need my refrigerator to have a screen and be able to connect to the internet? No, I really don't. I don't really want my fridge to connect to the internet. I don't want to have to patch it. I don't want to have to update its firmware or its BIOS or anything like that, right? I'm good with just a regular old toaster that I hit the button on. I don't have to schedule it from home or from remote, right? When I'm doing toast, I have to get up and put the toast in there anyways. So until I have a AI bot that actually goes and makes my food for me and does everything, then I'm good with what I've got. Security FOMO, it is real, and it's also fake. There's a lot of fear going on. There's a lot of fear selling. You know, the sky is falling. All the things. The unfortunate thing is the security is a risk. It is real. Like, we see real events that are happening all the time, and also cyber vendors take advantage of that, and they oversell. They over fear sell, right? And the sky is falling, nation state attackers, the end of the world, you know, obviously I'm being a little dramatic, but you know, it is thrown out there. And you know, you have to buy this because you're losing everything if you don't, right? So there's a lot of non-technical people, which is great. And also, where are the technical folks, right? You know, I was just talking with Cam this week. The last episode I had with Cam from we were talking through, like, what would it look like if we had a non-conference, one that was really technical. You know, ResetCon in Savannah, Georgia is one of those, right? It's very deeply technical, less on the sponsorship side, more on the conversations. But what if there was a roundtable conference that everybody sat down and talked through things? You know, no vendor pitches, no bullshit panels, you know, no celebrity speakers, just you and me and others sitting around and dialoguing around the issues and the value and the solutions and problem statements and all, you know, in interconnections, all of those things. That would be an incredible thing, right? So it just doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. And part of that is because, like I said before, how do you have a big event like that? You have to have sponsors. And for sponsors to want to show up, there has to be an ROI. And if they can't pitch, they can't get leads, why are they going to show up? So that's a hard one. Again, we've cracked that problem with our events. And the way we do that is we have our sponsors sitting next to their target audience. They're not selling to them. They're making connections with them. Hey, I'm so-and-so from vendor A, and vendor A does blah, 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 blah. Well, you're hanging out with those people all day long. You're not selling to them. You're making connections. You're making friends. You're having conversations. You're doing activities. You're eating lunch. You're having dinner. Like, all of these types of things during out the day. And then when they, at the end, hey, they know that you sell whatever, firewalls or routers or switches or AI software or whatever those things are, they've already got a connection with you. So if they need that thing, hey, I'm going to reach out to Bob because I had a conversation with Bob. I like Bob. Bob didn't try to sell me on things, but I know Bob does this stuff. So I'm going to reach out to Bob because I have a problem with XYZ, and his product or solution or service or whatever solves that problem. So I'm going to reach out to him. Maybe I reach out to 15 other people too, but I definitely want to reach out to Bob because I know Bob, right? So that's the value for me is that's the connection. That's the way that I like making, sales calls. I'm not your traditional salesperson. It's all relationship and focused on that, right? The connections, the experiences that I've had, the network that I've built, that's the way that I see the future of how do we make this better? Again, not that it's bad, just how do we make it better? You know, some of the hard questions that I think we should be asking, like, why are vendors spending millions of dollars on booze with no measurable impact? Again, I was the CTO of a software company, you know, senior director at a consulting firm, senior manager at another one, you know, all the way down to, you know, when I was an asset owner, right? Why, how do I justify going to this event? And we all have to justify, no matter which hat we're wearing. We have to validate and justify why are we going to go? And again, as a vendor, if I'm going to spend $10,000 $100,000, $1 million, there has to be measurable value to return. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. I'm just burning money, throwing it out the window. And if it didn't make sense, then nobody would go. And again, if the vendors don't go, then there won't be a conference. So what would a non-conference model look like that actually delivers value? The idea that Cam and I came up with it the other day, I probably shouldn't be sharing it, but you know, it's what if we had tabletops? What if we had, you know, the Lone Star events that we run where we're just sending value. We're just showing up and having conversations. We're just showing up our Lone Star events. It's about the connections. We tell vendors that are sponsoring with us, like, you are not going to get up and give a presentation. Like, you can give up and tell a story. You can get up and tell a use case. You can give up and tell a meme, like whatever, but you're not going to pitch. You're not going to sell. You're going to show up and you're going to make connections. And if you do that and you're truly intentional about that, we've shown that vendors have come out the other side and gotten deals, have gotten leads, have gotten conversations and demos and all of that without having to sell. Now, you can't send your junior person there to do that. It takes the right capability and skill set to do that. But that drives value. What other ways could we do conferences or whatever you want to call it that can deliver value? And again, it has to be for all things. It can't just be for the end user. Because who's going to pay for it? Because again, going back to my Lone Star events, like, we make our attendees pay, which is sometimes uncommon for these types of events. You know, you go to Black Hat, most CISOs are not paying. Some sponsor is paying for them to be there. You know, maybe they have to pay for their trip and their lodging, but the ticket and the food and all the things are paid for, right? So we force ours to pay for it, right? Because we want them to show up. But that's subsidized by the vendors, the sponsors. Like, they're not paying the full ticket price. Our ticket price would be for those attendees would be 4 or 5 times what they're actually paying if they had to actually pay what it costs. The actual cost of the event is way more than the tickets that they're buying, right? So we're making it where it's enough that they want to show up, but not so much that they're like, wow, I can't afford that, or I'm not willing to pay that much. So that's where the sponsors come in. But again, on the flip side, there has to be value for the sponsors. So maybe it's about building smaller curated events with real conversations. Maybe, you know, what if budget went to training and tech demos or labs? There's a lot of ideas that make it different. And I've seen a few conferences that are trying to do these things. Obviously, there's some smaller organizations that do this, and usually they're surrounding. You know, you look at, you know, the villages that do this type of stuff that show up to these events. There's a lot of things out there. I think it's just a conversation that we should have around what could it be. You know, we already talked about, you know, the difference between Black Hat and DEF CON. I mean, you couldn't be too further obvious difference, right? You know, Black Hat's polished and corporate and suit and sell. DEF CON is raw and nerdy and chaotic and sometimes inaccessible, overwhelming. You know, who's each one really for? There's got to be something in between. I love DEF CON and it's annoying. I love Black Hat and it's annoying. Both things can be true at the same time. This year I'm a little bit annoyed and a little bit not looking forward to it, and also excited, because both things are true, right? So what should you actually do in Vegas? You know, make sure that you're, don't go to booths you don't care about, right? You don't necessarily need the t-shirt or the swag. You know, find your tribe, make connections, talk to people. Don't just stay on your own. It's hard for me sometimes, because it's so overwhelming. There's so many people. It's really easy to just kind of navigate, not talk to anyone. Find your time. Like, go to one or two talks that actually align with your work. Check out the ICS Village and the other villages, and really dive in, ask questions. Those people are there. They have knowledge. Even if you're not OT, or you're not, you know, the car hacking village, or the airplane village, any of those types, right? Maritime. Go check it out. Like, they've got a lot of knowledge. The people that are there are volunteers. They are there because they want to be. They are there because they're passionate about what they do. They're passionate about helping people to understand and grow the knowledge of folks, right? Meet people. Don't just collect stickers. I love the stickers. I've got stickers all over everything. But it's more than stickers. Like, your stickers don't make you better. I guess that could be argued, but meet people, right? Make connections, and be honest with vendors, right? You know, when I go up to a booth and I want their t-shirt or their, you know, my daughter loves socks. So I will actually go up to a vendor and say, look, I am not interested in your product. I have no value for it whatsoever. Not that your product is bad or good. I'm just not a buyer for this, but I would love to get a pair of socks for my daughter. And they're like, awesome. Like, they still scan my badge. They still put me in there, but I'm being upfront and honest with those vendors. I'm not interested in your thing. I just want a pair of socks. And if they don't want me to give the socks, I've never actually had anybody turn me down, but I want to be honest with them. I don't want them to waste time on me when there could be other people behind me that are actual buyers are interested. Right. So be honest with them and don't ghost them. Right. When you get those outreaches, just respond. Not interested. Just wanted the socks. Thank you for the outreach, right? Let those folks know you're not interested. You don't have to be rude about it. When they call you, when they email you, they're just doing their job. And again, these vendors are trying to get value. And just let them know, I'm not interested. That is hugely valuable to these vendors to know, hey, take me off your list. So you don't waste your time on me or anybody at my company because my company is not a buyer for this thing. And that's okay. It's much better to show up with integrity and be honest with these folks, because that's hugely valuable. It's almost as valuable as chasing down a lead, because I'm not focusing on energy and money and time and resources on leads that aren't actually interested. So I just remove them from my list and I can narrow it down to the ones that may be interested, right? That is hugely valuable. So the best thing I can say for you, if you are going to Black Hat and you are going to scan your badge, be upfront and honest. And then it's, again, you're still going to get the emails and the messages. Don't be annoyed. Just know that's what they have to do and just respond to them. Hey, thank you. I'm not interested. Simple as that. They have to remove you from their list anyways. So just do that. Ask them very nicely. Thank you for your time. Right. lastly, make sure that you hydrate. Right. I don't know. I do a lot of fitness and things, but even that, when I go to Vegas, I really have to focus on making sure that I drink plenty of water. It's hot in Texas. It's a different kind of hot in Vegas. So definitely make sure that you hydrate, drink more than what you think. Don't just drink when you're thirsty. You know, you could absolutely die. Don't want that to happen for anyone, right? So, you know, the call to action is have ideas for better cyber events, right? How can we build this better, bigger, stronger? You know, again, not to replace Black Hat. How can we make Black Hat better? How can we make DEF CON better, right? It is our community. We get to do with it what we wish, right? So if you're going to be in Vegas, if you're here this week, definitely come by. I will be at the House of Blues for Black Hat or kind of around. You'll probably see me. Big red beard, can't miss it. And then DEF CON, I'll be at ICS Village. Definitely go check out the villages, check out all the things. Come see us and have a drink at the Cyber Lounge in Mandalay Bay at the House of Blues. Stay hydrated. That's it. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks for joining us on Protect It All, where we explore the crossroads of IT and OT cybersecurity. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to stay ahead in this ever-evolving field. Until next time.